Well, cool. I'm glad you're
all
here.
I'll try to speak up.
We're gonna have a good, nice, casual time, just like Current Geek itself on Fridays. Before we start, I just want to thank. You know, it's interesting. I don't focus on download numbers for the shows, but I look at them occasionally. It's good to know your metrics and kind of know when things are going well or when things are leveling off. And one really bright, nice light in the last couple of years has been our numbers for the show just continually on an incline. And we don't for this show.
Really?
And we don't really advertise it very much. We don't push it on other shows all that much. I think we just have a really great base of listeners who tell their friends and spread the word, and we get noticed for it. So I just I'm assuming since you're here, you like the show, most of you. So big thanks to you at this.
If you were accidentally looking for the community panel, it's the next room over.
I feel like that's the running theme for every panel, actually, is the community aspect of it. But you guys are great, so thank you for helping Current Geek be more than just awesome. A thing Tom and I would do anyway, because we like hanging out and having a project together and helping it grow and be good. So we hope that keeps happening. So thank you guys for that.
This is a bigger room than DTNS.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's the greatest tech show on the internet.
Well, thanks, but...
Oh, thanks. It is, right?
That was not a fishing for applause, but thank you. No, but I mean, Scott's right. We do Current Geek for ourselves. Honestly, like we're just it. When I say on the show that it's my high point of the end of the week, it is. Like, it's the one thing where I'm like, this is just going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. It's the perfect way to wrap up a week. And the fact that all of you get something out of it too and enjoy it as well is just amazing.
Yeah, so we've always had this thing since we met back in, I think, 2008 was our first official meeting. There was always this feeling of we should be doing a project together. And now there's all kinds of collaboration back and forth, but there was always that desire. So we'd do that here and there. We had a show called Forecast, which I know a lot of people like. It used to be a show, now it's a segment.
Just sucked it in.
Sucked it in, made it tiny, and there it is. Today we're hoping during the Q&A portion of the show we might get some forecast ideas from you. So be thinking on it. We're grateful to have the opportunity to do that together and then have ears willing to listen to it. So thank you guys for that. We'll go ahead and get started. Looks like we've got pretty much any stragglers that would be coming, and we'll get going with this thing. We're not going to start it with a bunch of fanfare or music or anything like that. I know you guys like that intro, but...
So I'm not doing my song?
One of us forgot a bunch of things yesterday and didn't bring the sound files for Current Geek, so I apologize for that. I didn't think about it. So you're just going to get us today, but we'll start it off semi-officially. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you.
Wait, do you want to restart? I didn't realize you were actually starting.
This is actual starting.
Okay. Because you always say 3, 2, 1.
I know. I should have counted 3, 2, 1.
Just as an aside, every time anyone else, I was shooting this series up at Seattle, and they would be like, 3, 2, 1, and I would go, I have Current Geek in my head every time.
Or as Mark Spagnuolo calls it, carrot cake. But anyway.
All right, I'm ready now. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to do it again. Here we go. Take two. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you to keep you informed on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Tom Merritt.
Hi.
Yeah.
That's Nerdtacular 2015.
Woo. They look good, too, don't they?
Who let all these people in our room?
I know, this is crazy. So you guys are amazing. We're so glad to be doing this in front of you. The show is now, what, a year and 6 months old?
Correct. Well, no, 8 months.
8 months old? Just
about. Because it's August now.
Yeah, that's right. And when we started it, it's a little backstory. We had another show before this called Current Geek that we used to do way back on the Twit Network, and then that went away for a while. We had it
before the Twit Network.
Oh, that's right.
Just...
And then we brought
own,
it and said, let's do the weekly.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Forgot about the weekly. And in between a lot of other things, we've got a little show called Autopilot that's never quite over. It's just sort of in its current phase of hiatus.
It's in quantum state.
Sure. So that may show its head at some point. But we really enjoy making this show and talking about the things that at this event are so important to everybody. I was just remarking upstairs, we were at the lunch with people. I saw a few of you others up there as well. Garrett, you were up there. And... Chris Metzen came up, sat down with us, and we started having different tables talking about different things. And I had just gotten finished, Tom, with a table full of people, mostly Patrick, having a very intense conversation about Game of Thrones and why it's terrible now, in his opinion.
Patrick says this.
Patrick says this.
Not surprising me at all.
He, He thinks that it's just a very miserable place, which I kind of can't disagree with in terms
really,
of the world.
It's really depressing.
Yes, really, really. But so I went from that. It was very intense, lots of opinions, really interesting stuff. And then I swapped tables, and we talked about the various things going on right now, the differences between how we police in certain cities and how we don't, like current eventy kind of stuff, with an actual policeman with an opinion and other people talking about their lives. And I just thought to myself, what a great place to have this varied kind of discourse about everything, from the nerdy, geeky stuff we love so much to our personal lives and what we do with each other. In a lot of ways, Current Geek represents that on the network. There's a lot of us talking about implications of what we're into, not just being excited about what we're into. So it's an important show to me, and I think Tom would probably agree.
I would, without hesitation, agree.
So today, I think we'll have some fun talking about some of the stuff that's happened so far this year that we think is sort of top of the block when it comes to 2015 in the area of sort of the nerdy, geeky technology
stuff.
Is it
our mid-year geek and review?
Sure, why not? That sound all right?
Yeah.
I think it's been a pretty good year so far.
I had a hard time narrowing it down.
Yeah.
Scott was like, let's come up with our own geeky things that we've liked and what we think is like the biggest story of the year so far. And we had a lot of overlap, but once I saw what Scott had chosen, I was easily able to go, well, let me pull some other things in here, because it's been from movies to toys to tech stuff, all kinds of just cool stuff happening every week. There's not a week where we try to figure out the headlines for Current Geek that we're scraping by. Mm-hmm. Partly because of the amazing subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com. Who here has submitted to it or contributes to it? Raise your hands. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Like, you make my job so much easier, first of all. And it's just great to see people like enthusiastically getting in there and helping to put together the show, because there's so many things that show up there that I would never have seen, or maybe would have thought, well, that's interesting to me, but nobody else. And then I see all you guys voting on it, and it makes a big difference.
It's interesting, because you're almost like participants in this virtual. So let me go back a little bit. When I first met Tom, it became very clear to me, and I'm not trying to be sappy here, but if we had grown up together, he would have been that friend up the road who I would schedule D&D with,
totally.
And we would hang out and do these things. Like, that's the kind of... These are the personalities.
And honestly, if we lived in the same town, it probably would have still happened.
Right. And girls would have thought we were weird. And, you know, like there would have been a lot of, it would have been that kind of stereotypic, these two nerd guys having the most fun and nobody knows why they're having so much fun. Nothing's changed. The big difference is now you're kind of participants in it. So those of you who help submit, man, that's, I don't think we can say enough about your help. You really do literally add to the content every week. And so please keep that up if you're so inclined. So I think the easiest way to start this would be just, we'll go back and forth a little bit and talk about the geekiest things of the year, the things that really tweaked our interests as nerds, geeks, or whatever the term of the day may be for what we do. So Tom, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, there's one that I have that I know you have as well. Mm. So let's just start with that one.
All right.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know...
You can totally clap for that movie if you guys want to.
Yeah, please. This is a movie that should not have been as good as it was, right? It's the fourth, right?
Fourth, yeah. Yep.
From the original director, which, as we know, when the original director comes back to a franchise again, doesn't always work out. So
we're not making any specific references.
and yet, not only was good, but it was cinematically... beautiful, amazingly acted. Very few movies do I want to go back and see again, and immediately was one that I wanted
to
see.
Yeah, I don't know what... George Miller, I mean, I already liked George Miller in a lot of ways. I thought those Babe and Babe Pig in the City movies were awesome. They're kids' movies, but they're really good kids' movies, and shouldn't work either. Those are like... They're talking farm animals. It's a terrible idea. But it totally worked for me. I loved them. My kids were much younger then, and I'd watch them with them and enjoy it as much as they did, and I think the Happy Feet movies are... fine children's fare. It just didn't occur to me that George Miller, this creator of this gritty, hardcore, post-apocalyptic future that shapes so much of what I love about that genre, I mean, he's the grandfather of it as far as I'm concerned, the fact that he could return to it after all this fluffy pig and penguin stuff in the middle, I thought that was impossible. Like, I really went in, not low expectations, but I went in going, well, let's see how you do, old man. You know, I just didn't know how it was going to go. Are we going to have, you know, talking animals? Will it be a little too sappy? Is he going to bring those sensibilities into this thing? And instead, he made my favorite movie of easily the last 5 years, maybe more, and captured the spirit of the originals, that rebellion, that freneticness, all those things that made those original movies so great, or at least the first and second, not so much the third. Third's all right, whatever. But he did it in such style, with such panache, and so much technical know-how, like Tom said, just absolutely beautiful. The cinematographers in that film are amazing.
We talked about it on Current Geek, but have you seen the video that shows how like they kept everything center frame through the entire movie? And that's why your eyes just never drift, and it just feels like you're on a ride the whole way through.
Yeah, when he's yelling, "What a lovely day," it's just right there, man, and you feel it. You want to be Nicholas Hoult. You want to be in that car. Or what's his name? Holt. I always say Hoult. Still. But just the effects being so practical, yet digitally enhanced where it needs to be. And people were so worried about that. Mad Max with too much CGI. Did you see that windstorm? It's going to be terrible. And it was so good. I can't stop talking about it. I know some people are like, "Oh, I think you overblew it. It's not as good as you think it is." It reminded me what I love about movies, what I love about creativity, what I love about surprising me with story twists I didn't see coming, showing me things I've never seen before, and making me want to live in a world where the entire convoy is always led by a crazy guy with a guitar. What a movie.
I just can't wrap my head around it, and I'm not disparaging Jurassic World in any way when I say this, but the fact that Jurassic World is making so much money compared to Mad Max Fury Road, which is also doing quite well. Because in my opinion, Jurassic World was a fun movie, watched it once, done. Mad Max Fury Road I could watch over and over again.
Yeah, it's interesting because you could say the Jurassic World, which I also had a good time with, but again, didn't walk away feeling the way I did about Fury Road.
It's a one-time thrill.
Sure, it was a fun time at the popcorn theater, blah, blah, blah. But
I got Star-Lord and dinosaurs.
Sure.
Good time.
It's not bad. Not a bad combination. But I walked away from that thinking, this is the gateway drug for a generation of kids who are going to be blown away by what they're seeing with dinosaurs, who think the 93 one's too old now or dated or something. And I think I've come to grips with it. It's fine, because one day they'll be me, who thought Time Bandits was mind-blowing when I was a kid, and they'll see their version of Fury Road, and finally appreciation will dawn in their small, innocent eyes. So, I don't know why they're small, but...
Well, actually, your eyes stay the same all the way through your life.
Your whole life, they're never different?
Yeah, no. That's why kids have such big eyes.
You haven't seen a lot of anime then, because...
If you're born anime, wow.
Yeah, that's right, Anne Hathaway.
Anime Hathaway.
Anyway, so I think our first on our list has got to be that movie, and if you still haven't seen it, go see it. If you don't appreciate that kind of stuff, at least give it a shot and try to appreciate technically what's being shown to you. And also just celebrate that we live in a time where that movie, which it is typically dominated by male ego and dominated by big guns and big muscles, was dominated by one of the most interesting female heroines we've had in movies in decades, in my opinion.
Charlize had some guns, too.
She had some guns, yeah. And a really wicked fake arm.
Mm-hmm.
But I like having those tropes turned around and reminding me that it isn't all Rambo. Sometimes it's Rambina.
Rambe.
I think I ruined my entire point by saying that.
Saying Rambina. Well, these things happen. Let's move on to, that's our shared one.
That's our shared one.
Then we have a couple others. What's your first?
I'll tell you my first one. I think the final functioning, actual working, oh my gosh, it's here, we're all going to get one this fall probably, if not next spring, VR coming to the house is a huge, huge deal. And I know that this isn't just a 2015 thing, but now we finally got some fruition. We have dev kits and display units and demo units being shown at conventions that are in finished retail condition. People who put them on and tried them. I've tried up to the second dev kit for Oculus. I really want to try the Vive. And in fact, I'm just going to sight unseen buy the Steam Vive this year. There's just no way around it. Goodbye, $300, honey, just letting you know. Or whatever they're going to charge. But, you know, since I was a kid, there was this grand promise of having real presence in a world that wasn't the one you were in, and being able to experience that in true 360 degrees and in true three dimensions and feel a part of it, both audio and visually, and have experiences that you wouldn't otherwise have anywhere else, be in places you'll never be, but also find ideas in places that have never been thought of, because it gives you just so many new opportunities to do and see so many different things. And sometimes it's simple stuff like, I could sit in a virtual movie theater with all of my friends, even though we're scattered across the world, and I can hear Tom talk out of my right ear because it sounds, you know, directional, and I can know where he's
coming from.
We can
watch Virtual He-Man.
Virtual He-Man, think of that. Held aloft his magic sword and said. All of that stuff just intrigues me. As a kid, it just enthralled me. I'd see movies like Brainstorm or, what was it? Oh yeah, that one's a good one. There's another one I was thinking of though. Tron's great, thank you. Tron's a good example. It's not about VR, but it's about getting into this computer space.
Yeah, fighting for the users.
Yeah, I mean, think of all those things. And then working with my sister on all this therapy stuff, she's always making me think of new ideas for like actual like ways to help people. Like just imagine what it could do for, say, post-traumatic stress disorder, to have somebody who maybe picked that up while fighting in a war or something, and you can put them in places that are truly serene. Convince your body that you're there, and that you're actually on the beach with this beautiful scenery and all these things, and having also the voice of somebody in your ears walking you through how to get your body relaxed. Like, there are therapeutic uses, there are entertainment uses and educational uses we don't even have the first thought about yet. So for me, that's huge. And it's not technically here, but this is the year where we're really going to get our hands on it. And I can't wait for that.
Yeah. 100% agree. That's one that came up to me as well, because we have choices now. We have a landscape that's developing where it's not just like, well, when the Oculus comes out, I wonder what it'll be good for. Mm-hmm. It's, well, how is the Vive going to be different from the Oculus, from the cardboard, for, you know? And there were, I think, at Computex 26, or no, I'm sorry, not at Computex, E3, there were 26 different companies showing off their own VR headsets. Now, I'm not talking about people creating apps or accessories for the other platforms. 26 platforms out there that people are trying. Now, obviously, a bunch of those are going to fall by the wayside, but it's going to be a thing that we all can partake of.
That's a sign of critical mass, and you need all those companies that aren't going to amount to anything to start getting excited. It is an absolute sign that we're about to separate what, you know, the Diamond Rios from the iPods in 2001. I keep bringing up that example, but you're going to start to see that. You're going to know who the winners are. That's going to be fun in its own right to watch that business and watch it evolve and the excitement around it. But, man, just think about what this means for a future event like this for people who can't come. They have a disability that makes them so they can't come, or they just can't come for other reasons. To have it would not be impossible in the next few years that they could have a virtual walkthrough of this place while we're all here waving at them.
Wait a minute. You want to do Nerdtacular from your house, don't you?
That's basically what I'm saying. And it'll be on a beach, and we'll all be nice and chill, and yeah. Very exciting stuff. Tom, what do you got for your next big one?
The show Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah, fan. I got some fans. Oh, we got lots of fans. I am always excited about the Netflix shows because they do great stuff. I'm always excited to see new Marvel properties because they do great stuff. And I was still blown away. I had high expectations and they exceeded them. That story is just so compellingly told, so well told. If you don't know anything about it, my wife Eileen is watching Daredevil right now. She's in the middle of it. She knew nothing about the character and just absolutely is enthralled. I knew a little bit. I never read the comic, but I knew the character and I knew the backstory. And the way they built it up, I just thought was so elegant. So clever. You never felt like they were pandering, but you never felt like they were straying too far from the spirit of the character. And it's just such a compelling superhero story. I know it's often compared to Batman, but I think it's just in a whole other league of, you know, do-it-yourself superhero.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of ways, other than he kind of does have an actual power, they're very similar. He's kind of Marvel's Batman.
He does and he doesn't have a power. Right. I think that's one of the things that's so cool about it is
it's a little nebulous.
He has a power, but theoretically, we all could have that power.
Sure.
Like anybody who loses their sight could theoretically attune themselves
through that
kind of Zen training.
Some of the comics focus more on, the chemicals made him, all the senses heightened. And the show is doing a really good job of saying, maybe, maybe not. You know, there's, you'll have to decide. Clearly, it's a guy with a lot of determination and a desire to do justice in his city, and they are nailing it. I agree with you 100%. Kim and I and the kids loved that show. I think it was an experiment. I got, at least watching it, I got this feeling that this was important to see how it would go. Not like there haven't been other Marvel things on TV. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a show, and it's been on for a while and all that. But a chance to do it in a format and on a network like Netflix, where you can go to the lengths the comic does in terms of some of the violence or some of the themes, and not shy away from that too much or try to sanitize it too much. And I think that was an experiment for them to see if that would catch. And I'm so glad it did, because that second season sounds amazing. We're going to get a proper Punisher, not like that piece of crap we talked about earlier. We're going to get, you know, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones. That's the other one. There's one more. Luke Cage. And then they're talking about, are they called the Defenders when they're all together? Heroes for Hire?
But I think they're calling it the Defenders.
Defenders on the show, yeah. So then they're going to do a Defender series, basically like the TV equivalent of what MCU did with like the Avengers and everybody. I mean, guys, we're living in a special time.
Yeah, right? I mean, you look at what Marvel's doing on ABC. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has its ups and downs. I think it's probably got more downs than ups, unfortunately. When it's up, it's really good. Agent Carter was great, but neither one of them at their best, in my opinion, compared to Daredevil at all. And you don't see HBOs or Showtimes. They're shying away from any of that superhero stuff. I think they're starting to change their mind. The only thing close to it, to me, is CW with Arrow and Flash, and now they're going to have the Suicide Squad. Or not Suicide Squad, I'm sorry, what? Legends.
Legends of Tomorrow, yeah. Which, by the way, can you believe they're doing that?
And that's the thing. Like, Arrow especially, they really have to play it close to the vest on the seriousness. I mean, you mentioned the violence in Daredevil, but what's great about Daredevil is they don't just use the violence because, hey, guess what? We can use violence. Yeah. They're saying, we want to tell a really serious, dark story, and so we don't want to have to fudge it when it's necessary.
Right, and the comic has always enjoyed that freedom, so why not a show based on it? So, yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think it spells good things for the copy effect, which will come from this. You're going to see other networks and other properties and other things come to TV. I mean, Walking Dead deserves a lot of credit for this, but we were already sort of in the thrust of cable networks already, you know, pushing the envelope and doing new things and taking risks with things like Breaking Bad and whatever. And this, to me, just says, well, first thing it tells me is that Netflix is serious about original programming in a way that isn't just some gritty drama. It's a gritty drama that's also genre-based, that is also aimed at a very specific kind of person, that also plays off the mass appeal of the MCU and the little tie-ins during the series to what happened in New York at the end of Avengers. That was great. So, yeah, I can't wait to see whatever they do next. It was great. Perfect pick.
What you got?
My next one is discovering this year, not probably since 2004 at the height, and certainly before that, I was really into competitive gaming. So we played a lot of Network Doom at the office I used to work at. First thing I did when the Quake demo came out is we got it and we played it. Oh, you were pregnant then, remember? And you'd lay there and be pregnant while I would play all night at the office. Real fair, obviously.
Good times.
Yeah. And Quake was so much fun, and we played it to death. And I remember the day we gave everybody Henry Rollins skins, so they all had like tattooed upper bodies with jeans, and their faces were the boss's wife where we worked, and it was terrible. But and the day we figured out you could make blue versus red and actually only have you hurt the other team, and we got the first Capture the Flag mod. I mean, those were the days, right? Just, man, competitive video games. And then about 2004 or so, I feel like things kind of crescendoed, playing a lot of Unreal and that sort of thing. And then I just kind of stopped caring as much about it. And I was more into single player narrative type experiences or MMOs, or those are multiplayer, but it's not quite the same as me squaring off with people. And esports has changed a lot and mostly became kind of a MOBA thing and an RTS thing. And I just kind of didn't get into that. I don't have the clicks per second that I need to compete.
Well, and I know you love the people in League of Legends.
Oh, they're great. They're the wonderful, most accepting group of people. And I know we probably have League fans here, but you're not the problem. There's a toxic element to that community that kind of pushes me away. So, and I tried those things, dabbled in League, dabbled in Dota. But I just thought, you know what? Maybe my competitive video gaming days are behind me. Just have to accept it.
You know, we all hit 40.
Right. You hit 40 and go, let the kids have their time, right? So then along comes, in 2015, the release of Heroes of the Storm. And I was already a Blizzard nerd, and I always love everything they do, and it doesn't matter what they make, I'll play it. But something clicked. And it took a few games, but when it did, it was almost a sound in my head, like that. And I went, oh my gosh, this is all I want to do, and this is all I want to spend money on, and I will give you my $10 for that new character, even though I haven't touched them sight unseen, because that's Thrall, and he's awesome, and I want to play him, or whatever. And started getting teams. We have this tournament going on right now. It'll start to get into the big phases after the event, and I'm playing with friends all the time, whenever we can. I have teams of people who fill in for each other when we're not around. I've had some of the most laugh-out-loud, most exciting moments I've had since my Quake days. And that would be enough. I could just say, Heroes of the Storm changed it. I'm back into competitive play. Bring it. Great. Quick match. Let's go. Tassadar's skin is too expensive, but I bought it anyway. Okay, that could be where I am. But then comes, a couple of weeks ago, Rocket League. Which, my gosh. So Rocket League scratches a lot of the same itches. And if you've seen any of my live streams or the YouTube after, you know just how itchy I get. But I don't think I've had that much competitive fun since Heroes, and I'm playing both at the same time, and it's like a real heyday for me. And for those who don't know, Rocket League is this kind of out of the blue. They had another game that didn't do as well, but sort of out of the blue, very popular. It already sold like 5-6 million units in the first week and a half. Total unprecedented. They didn't expect any of this. It's on Steam and PS4, free on PS4 for the month of July, no longer. And it's cross-play, so people are playing across those platforms. And it is cars on a giant soccer field trying to bump a giant soccer ball into two goals on each end. It sounds kind of dumb on paper. It is not dumb. It is so fun, so tight, so competitive, so exhilarating. It's the kind of game, the matches are literally 5 minutes long, and you sit down for a quick 5-minute match and wonder where 3 hours went because you can't stop. It is really, really great, and if you haven't tried it, it's like $20 on Steam, and I think the same price on PS4 after the freebie. Absolutely worth your time, and for me, it's this realization that I can still be in that world and still have that thrill, because there's really nothing quite like that brand of adrenaline. There probably are, but it involves a lot of working out and weights and things, and I'm no football player. But when it comes to like that kind of experience, man, those two games are just there for me, and it just feels like a bit of a renaissance for that kind of stuff.
Sorry, I'm installing Steam on this laptop.
Oh, you're getting Steam on there, are you? He totally is installing Steam. Steam Watch 2015.
Look, I've been meaning to get Rocket League. I haven't played it yet, and I keep hearing Scott. I think you've collected the whole set, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned it on DTNS. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it on the Instance. Mm-hmm. Like you're.
I've got it all. So, I've said every show I can possibly evangelize it on. I mean, some Rocket League and certainly Blizzard, they owe me a little money, like a little something. Because I love evangelizing these games, and part of it is just I want to share how much fun it is. Even for people who don't game, I feel like those are, you know, I got my now son-in-law, Dylan. I don't know if he's in here. Is Dylan in here? Maybe not. Taylor's new husband. That's still weird to say it. Anyway, he picked it up. He's a giant FIFA fan, loves like hardcore, like technical soccer, simulation style. And when I explained it to him, he looked at me like, whatever, old man, you know. I don't know about your car soccer or your soccer. And anyway, I said, just go get it. You'll thank me later. And then now it's all he wants to do. So trust me on this. That game is probably at this stage, if it's not game of the year, it's right close to a couple other really great releases. And I would say another great thing about 2015 period has been what a great year so far for gaming. It's been a huge uptick from 2014. So if you're a gamer, good time to be alive. Anyway, Steam Watch 2015.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I'll stop. Hi. Rocket League. I do know who you're talking about, Rocket League particularly. So I'm a little split on my last geeky thing because one of the things I wanted to say is a little ephemeral. So is it okay if I cheat since we had a
totally
shared
cheat,
one?
Totally cheat.
And I'll just throw in real quickly, I do think one of the coolest things about this year is the number, and you're going to laugh at me, you're going to think I'm insane, the number of security tools that you now have the advantage of. And I know every headline you hear tells you about another breach, another thing that's broken, another thing that is, you know, going to steal all of your data and make your life miserable. But the reason we're hearing about those is because we're finding them. It's not like we haven't had them throughout all of computer history. And there are more eyes on more things than ever right now. And because of that, you have companies like Silent Circle making the black phone. You have all kinds of companies making extensions for Chrome and Firefox where you can take control of your security. So it's one of those things where I know a lot of people don't necessarily take advantage of it, but you can. And you can easier than ever. And even big companies like Google and Facebook, whom you don't trust and shouldn't trust, are still making very trustworthy tools that independent people are saying, yeah, no, that's end-to-end encryption for real. You know, it's between you and Google on the other end of what data you're sharing with them, but they're making it so that you can securely send email so that at least only Google and the person that you're sending it to has any access besides you. And I think it's kind of, we're moving into both the best and worst of times security-wise, but it also means that you can actually take advantage of those tools. So I highly encourage people to do that. Like, go out there and look at, you know, HTTPS everywhere for Chrome and all of these things that will keep you protected. If you look at those headlines and you feel powerless, look into the things that will help keep you protected.
That's interesting, because this is one of those, I always bring this up on the show, I tend to read headlines, especially when it gets, there's a lot of, you know, hyperbole going around about a specific topic or whatever, and there's a lot of news and a lot of blogs and a lot of stuff about security being crazy right now, like, oh, everyone's credit cards are getting messed up, and everybody from big, giant, standard, you know, legitimate banks all the way down to Ashley Madison, the cheating website, and thankfully, I'm not one of those 37 million. I'm not just saying it because you're here. I'm just telling you, I'm not in there. And my tendency is to go, we're all going to die because there's all the security problems. We're all getting hacked. I'm getting hacked right now. Don't even know it, you know? And Tom has a way of seeing through that and seeing what that actually means. That uptick in chatter is a direct effect of us being able to detect it and know what to do. But I wanted to bring that up because it's something Tom's really good at.
Yeah. So that was kind of the more ephemeral thing that I think is a really good trend that doesn't get enough attention. Even on Daily Tech News Show, I think we forget to point that out. The other one is HBO Now, which is...
less ephemeral.
Yeah, less ephemeral and just... I'll throw it in real quick, but it is a signpost on the road of what is happening that is very similar to me in what iTunes was, where somebody has planted a flag in the ground and said, that's actually the way we're all going. And you can see that because pretty soon Showtime is out with their app. And then you have Bob Iger, the head of Disney, saying to people, oh, ESPN's definitely going to do that. Don't freak out, cable companies. It won't be for a while. But he has to say that because the investors are all like, hey, that's the future right there. And I think that's crazy important.
And that's what's funny is you can always tell when the trend is happening is when the investors start saying things that seem to lean toward the new thing we all for 10 years have seen coming.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, well, then the money's... Now you can follow the money a little bit and see where everybody's headed. I would totally agree. And we picked up HBO Now in a household who has been unpluggers since, what, 2006? We haven't had... I mean, we were early. Like, Netflix was like standard, horrible, deaf, computer only, you know, 3 or 4 movies. It was experiment time. But I just felt it, and I was sick of paying so much money for cable, and I wanted to pick what I wanted. I didn't want to have it thrust on me, and that just made perfect sense to us to add that to our repertoire, and we still spend a whole lot less than we used to for cable. So a very good one. Let's move on to our stories of the year. We have a couple each, or at least one top story each. I think we kind of shared this one, too, so Tom quickly came up with another cool one, right?
I didn't do that one.
All right, well, then I'll do this one. I'll do this one.
Yeah.
You guys ready for this one? All right. Microsoft's taken it for a few years now in a negative way. Big, cold corporation, too big for its own britches, doesn't care about the little guy, not consumer friendly, Steve Ballmer sweats too much, whatever, right? So, like, all of those negative things, and they don't care about, you know, the culture. And it's given other companies an opportunity to jump in on that and take that steam away. It's easy for Google over the years to come in and go, well, look what we're doing. Do no evil, and we're hippies, and we're making rad software, and Gmail was just an idea one night, or whatever, right? Yeah, Google's awesome. We love Google, but
may or may not have a Google employee in the audience.
Right, we may. But the whole idea is that they came
My
in.
My wife works for Google.
Yeah, that's right, disclaimer. And we miss Eileen. If she hears this, we miss you. she was going to come this year, but couldn't. Anyway, the point is that Google filled that void of, like, here's a human part of it. Apple very much likes to do that. That's their whole MO, is try to be very personal, and devices aren't computers, they're lifestyle choices. That's very much their aim and their effort. And between the two of those, they kind of filled those that void for the last 10, 15 years that I felt like Microsoft was getting a lot of cheese for. They were basically, well, they made your OS, you had to use it. You really don't like Outlook, but you have to because your boss says you have to. And, you know, just kind of cold and platform-centric, and they just didn't want anything else to go any other way. I think this year is the weirdest year for Microsoft, and it's such a positive breath of fresh air from that company to see them going so multi-platform with things, knowing that in a lot of cases, some of their coolest ideas are showing up on iOS or Android first, before it even hits Windows Phone. I'm not sure that's good for Windows users, but them being platform agnostic and saying, we are a services company and we've got some cool ideas, and they really do. I use a lot of it now. And I would have, you know, the name Outlook would have sent me running 2 years ago. Now it's a pretty good iOS app for managing your mail.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And I know that they purchased that and tweaked it and did some things. So there's a lot of story there, but all of that is one thing, but also to see them getting into some interesting new technologies, trying to reposition Xbox One in a place where it's going to do well, and I hope they do. Becoming a more open and more sort of palatable human company is one thing. But then to turn around and say, here's Windows 10, like right here. It's free. If you're a legitimate user of 7.8 or 8.1, even if you're in some cases, there's some stuff. Right?
No, Microsoft will say, no, you're wrong. But yeah, you can get away with it.
And that's their way of saying, here is our platform. And if anything, it's in some ways, it's OS 10 like. It's like 10, and here's 10. And they're probably going to build on 10 for a long time. And by all accounts, other than a few launch bugs and a few things that they'll tweak out, it's a really solid OS. So gamers are happy, business users are happy. Me as a multi-platform user has been very happy. It's a new Microsoft, man. And I think it's great. What's the phrase?
Satya.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Veronica would slap me.
That kind of got ruined. Not our fault.
We knew it when it was cool. Anyway, that's my pick for story of the year. I just have never seen this kind of movement from them.
Yeah, I'm using it right now. I'm not being rude to Scott. I'm actually looking at Windows 10, kind of poking around a couple of things here, just because I want to see how it's working. And I'm having problems uninstalling this thing that I accidentally installed. But that's not Windows 10's fault. I installed this yesterday during the morning stream panel. It took a while to download, but the fact that it downloaded it all on hotel Wi-Fi is probably a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then once it got installed, it was it. It just set itself up. I know it's not 100% of the experience out there, but on this little ThinkPad here, X250, it works great. And honestly, I haven't skipped a beat. I was using it on Windows 7 before, and I've been using it on Windows 10 since the update, and I didn't lose any data, didn't lose any settings. The only thing I would say is customize those settings. So everything Scott said about the new kinder, gentler Microsoft is true. But the one thing they did in Windows 10, which I feel like is a little bit of the old Microsoft, is they change your default settings unless you tell them not to. And that's a cardinal sin in my world.
And kind of archaic.
You let people opt in, you don't make them opt out. And so if you upgrade to Windows 10, the free upgrade, and you just say, yeah, just do the quick install, the express install, it will change your default browser to Edge, it will change your default antivirus, it will change your default music player, and that's wrong. Don't do that. So, if you do upgrade, make sure to choose customized settings and look at that page and say, no, I want my browser, I want my music player, et cetera. But it runs great, and it works better interface-wise than Windows 8 ever did.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just get the feeling that they're... Who? I
haven't got it installed yet.
Oh, yeah, he's working on it.
Here's a little tip.
Yeah.
Never try to install something while running a panel or doing a podcast, because you may accidentally download the wrong thing and then spend most of the panel trying to uninstall the things you accidentally installed.
Yeah, he got Steam, STEEM.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's all Juarez or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't said that in years. I felt weird to say it.
I'll get this keystroke logger off in a minute. Don't worry.
But it's baby steps in some ways, broad steps in other ways, but one way or the other, it feels good and right and feels like it's a company I want to support again, and I want to have a relationship again as much as you can with your technology, and I feel like they're on the way to taking better care of me. And I don't know how that is ever a bad thing, and it'll put them in a place where and it's also a less adversarial position. They're in a position of like, yeah, we know there's multiple platforms. Google's great at this too. If anything, it's now going to be Apple's turn to quit being so agnostic, so specific to their platform. And that's bit them in the butt before, and it could again. It happened on desktop, and it certainly could happen on mobile. You could argue desktop and notebooks are their domain now, but I think that Microsoft's move, Google's general attitude about those things in the beginning. I mean, some of my favorite apps are Google apps on my iPhone. It'll be interesting to see if Apple ever changes that kind of direction. If they ever want to say, Apple Music coming to Android, there's a thing. I really like that service. I've liked it a lot since it launched. There's some of that happening. But whether or not they want to get completely out of their garden, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, a better, happier, smarter Microsoft is probably beneficial to all of us, although sorry, all the Nokia people that got fired.
And don't get us wrong, we're not saying that like Microsoft has changed and they're wonderful and everyone should just use only them from now on. It's absolutely not true. Like there are plenty of good open source alternatives that are still way superior. But man, is it good to see them actually turning back towards taking user concerns as a top priority rather than just trying to force you into doing things that they want you to do.
Yep, totally agree. What's your big story of the year?
Star Wars Force Awakens.
Oh yeah. Let's step away from technology.
Now, did you get that reaction? Mm. That was an interesting reaction. There was a pocket of unbridled enthusiasm, and then a pocket of, I hope so. and what I'm talking about so far is just like the note-perfect beats they have hit from the Star Wars Celebration to Comic-Con so far. The trailer just gave me chills, brought tears to my eyes. Not even kidding about that. The behind the scenes that they showed off at Comic-Con was just incredible. And seeing Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill together, just that alone is probably worth all of it, even if the movie just ends up sucking horrible.
Yeah.
Just to see them come together like that on stage. But I don't know, man. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm even more so. I feel like they know more than anybody. I can't imagine the pressure that's on Abrams and everybody else involved in the production, but I feel like they know more than anybody acutely how important it is to get us on board. We were burned real bad with prequels. Don't ask a 5-year-old that. They love them. But we were all burned real bad. Yeah, that's true. Anakin was very burned at the end of that. Oh, the poor
like
guy.
Like it's too soon. Long time ago, galaxy far, far away.
Too soon for Hayden Christensen, maybe. He's not doing much these days. But anyway, I think that they have gone to such lengths in a very genuine way. I don't think this is them trying to fool anybody, or I don't think this is them trying to just, let's make them think, whatever they want to think so we can hurry up and get this out. I genuinely believe them when they say we favor practical effects over digital, we favor digital when it enhances it, not replaces it. We have a rolling robot, BB-8 actually works, came out on stage and rolled around, blew everybody's mind. Like real craftsmanship, real attention to detail, dirty ships, scuffed up droids, the stuff we know aesthetically we want from our Star Wars movies, with some changes that we're cool with, and a cast we hardly know, with a few exceptions that we really know. I feel like they're doing everything they can to ensure us, in the way that a parent would ensure a child that it's safe to walk across the street now, they're ensuring us that they are taking all the care they can. That, to me, means a lot. And, we already know he's a capable director. We know that Kasdan is a more than capable writer. We know that these people are the right people for the job if you're going to give it to somebody. But to also see in their eyes how important it is for us to be in with them on this deal and not just a big corporate play is really important to me. And I really feel like they're genuine about that. So I agree. And I hope it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we may be disappointed. I don't know. I hope not.
I'm gonna ask a couple questions just to kind of cheer your answer, I guess. How many people, forget about what your fears are about what the movie might end up being in December. How many people have been excited by what they've seen to this point? Yeah. See, that and that's what I'm talking about. There was when I just said the name of the movie, you're like, yeah. But so far, they, you know, it's like all good signs. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I think we're in good hands. Knock on wood. All right, we've come to the point in the show where we do a thing every week where we pop quiz our guests. And as you know, they're usually in areas of their expertise, and we score them, and Tom does some crazy weird math, and somehow
it's
everyone...
It's not crazy or weird.
Everyone leaves alive, and it's all good in the end.
It's very complex.
So today we thought we'd do some of that, but we're going to be a little bit different. Tom and I have never been quizzed. So I don't even know if we know what our topics are. And Mike Iceworm, did I give you the topics? I don't remember. Last week is a blur, dude.
Okay.
You are going to give us the questions. This is Mike, stand-up Iceworm. He makes all these questions every week.
Such a fantastic job, man. You do a really good job with those.
He does an incredible job. He sends these questions every week, 8 questions for each person. He's on me every Monday. Got your guest yet? I think it's so-and-so. All right, let's do wrestling or whatever, and he'll make these 8 questions.
That's why I never have to remind you about the guests.
That's totally true. He's all over me. So we really appreciate all the hard work you do for that and all the other shows where you contribute. Pull up to the mic. He's going to ask us our questions. Why don't you do Tom first?
Well, hold on.
Use that one.
We need a judge. Craig, do you want to try lifting the gavel?
Yeah, that's okay.
See if...
Be careful on that motorcycle, buddy. All right, here you go. Try to lift it up. Oh, no. He's not worthy.
Wow, no, I didn't realize it was so protected.
It moved a little, kind of Captain America-like.
You did, yeah. No, you budged it.
Yeah,
sure.
It just barely wobbled. Yeah. It made Thor go.
Mike, I don't know. You may have to try to lift this gavel yourself. Here.
Yeah, Mike, come here and try to lift this thing. Come give it a shot.
You want to give it a shot? I mean, I'm sure we've got plenty of other people. We can't be here all day, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
You're going to judge, then.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. Please. Yeah.
So, Gavel McLeod in good hands. Good job. Like Milner. Is that mic? That mic's on, isn't it?
Check.
Yep, you're good. Okay. Just talk close to it.
All right, so I didn't pick your topics. I'm not sure who chose them, but Scott texted me these topics. I actually, like he mentioned, I asked him, you know, a few weeks ago if you guys were going to do this, and then I was literally packing when you sent me the text to do this. So
yeah. So he sent Tom Quantum Physics and Scott Single Number Edition.
Oh, now I remember.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually.
Now I remember what it was. You're not far off on how crazy Tom's is. All right.
All right, so for Tom, we have. History of Britain when it was under Roman control.
Hey, well, that ain't physics. That's
all right. And your first question is: the Roman conquest of Britain was started under the rule of what Roman emperor?
Julius Caesar.
That is incorrect.
No.
No point minusing, but is Emperor Claudius?
Mm.
Well, actually, I'll give you actually.
Caesar led Caesar. The first invasion. It was a sortie, so I guess you're not counting that.
No, I'll give you half point.
All right. It's just like the show.
Well, Mike studied decades to understand
the
scoring
system. Right, right, right. Yeah, no, he knows. Yeah. We're just shadows in his wake.
All right. Okay, so this pretty much happens after mostly, there is a Caesar question in here, but it's mostly after that.
Okay.
So who was the first general of the Roman-controlled Britain?
Ooh,
I'm probably gonna screw the name up. So,
yeah, Antoninus.
It is Alus Platius, or however you pronounce that. So,
Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis.
Okay. Star Wars reference. So, a quarter point.
Yeah, oh, thanks.
Oh.
He's really good at the scoring system.
Still doesn't make any sense to me, but I like it.
All right, well, it's very complicated.
All right.
So how many times did Julius Caesar invade what would become Britain?
Twice.
Yes.
Ding!
So 1 point and a quarter point speed bonus, and a bonus points if you can name the years.
Well, 55 BC was the first one, but I don't know the other one.
I'll give you that because it's 55 and 54 BC.
54. So. Oh, well, I was wrong about it being the first one. It was the second one.
By the way, before all this process, I didn't know he was into this at all. I had no idea.
I've got a bookshelf
full of this stuff.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that because now it's going to be really embarrassing when I miss all the rest of the questions.
All right, and
it is.
All right, and what year do most historians cite as the year that Britain, or it, the control of Britain, was lost by the Romans?
Oh, I don't know this one. 440
AD? It is 410 AD.
410.
Close.
So close, bonus, quarter point.
All right.
That was my buzz.
I really do like this scoring system.
Yeah. You're getting a lot of bonus points here.
All right, fourth question. Whose death in the 3rd century eventually led to civil war in that region?
In the British region. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hadrian.
That's incorrect. It's somebody named Commodus or something like that.
Commodus?
Yeah, I think
inventor of the toilet?
I believe so. So, no points.
We owe him a debt of gratitude.
We surely do.
Good old Commodus.
If you've seen Night Attack, you know how much we owe.
Yeah, I was there.
You know, he does. He's not quite as good as Toilitis, but he was all right.
Yep, very good. So.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I've got a correction from the chat room.
Okay. Ooh, give it.
55 BC is before 54 BC. It's BC.
Oh, right. Duh. Thank you.
I was right.
No, I said he was. He, I asked
yeah,
him
and he gave me the
years,
point, so it's all good.
He got the
it's
points.
All
good.
I'm all still right. confused. It's fine.
Well, it just goes, instead of going forward, it goes backwards. But never mind. All right, next question. What now rare plant did the Romans introduce into the region and they used it to warm their arms and legs?
Oh. What plant did they use to warm their arms and legs?
Would they smoke it and then feel better in their arms and legs?
No, they wouldn't smoke it every day, unfortunately.
Okay.
Nice.
Rare plant that they use to warm their arms
there's,
and legs.
There's two names for it, so if you get either of them, there's like the scientific name and then what it's...
Oh, Ralphus Laurentius.
That is incorrect. It is called... The Roman nettle or Utrica pilomotia or something like that.
Right. No, of course.
So, no points on that one.
Definitely not that Ralph Lauren thing you said.
No. All right. Second to last, we have...
I never noticed the similarity before you said that. That's funny.
All right. What like Roman-built defensive fortification ran between the River Tyne and Solway Firth of the Irish Sea?
That would be the Hadrian's Wall, right?
That is correct.
Ding!
1 point and a quarter point speed bonus. So
all right. Speed bonuses. Those are important. I'll remember that here in a minute.
I knew Hadrian would get in there somewhere. Am I right, Roman Britain fans?
What a bunch of nerds. Last question, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I'm just getting the score updated.
Oh, right. You're fine. Is this the eighth, though? We do eight, right?
He has to consult several hundred pages of scoring rules.
Right. Tom knows it off the top of his head.
And here's the final question. This is contested by historians, but when the Romans started this invasion initially, where did they land in Britain? There's two areas, so if you name either of them, because some historians say it's one and some historians say it's another.
So you're saying when I get it wrong, it's going to be really embarrassing because I had two places to
Not
choose
really.
From.
If you get either one correct, and if you also
Remember. I think it's Dover. I'm going to say Dover.
The answer is, this is Rickenbach in Kent or West Sussex. So.
Oh, West Sussex would have.
There you go.
That sounds familiar.
So 0.12.
All right.
Sorry.
Hold on to his score. Don't tell yet how he did.
Right.
What's my area? I don't remember.
Oh, hold on. I got to write this down somewhere.
So. I sent it to him and I don't remember.
It's
I smell toast. Right. What's happening to me?
Right, Roman France.
That's. You know, it could be a challenge.
All right, this is where I said it kind of might be one-sided. Maybe you're trying to give Tom a disadvantage. I'm not really sure. But your topic is video game history.
Oh, all right. Hey, now. I don't know everything. I'll be fine. This will be fine.
Sure.
All right, question number one.
What paddle game ends in ong?
All right,
my favorite. Somebody said, what year did Rocket League come out?
I don't really know.
All right, go ahead.
All right. In what year was the Magnavox Odyssey introduced?
Oh, introduced. 1970. Oh, 1976.
That is incorrect. It is 1972. So you will now lose 1,972 points.
Those are the rules.
You'll get them back at some point. But.
All right.
Now I had to do the math in my head about how to do the negative numbers on this calculator. So maybe that wasn't a good idea.
All right.
In 1979, David Crane, Alan Miller, and Bob Whitehead, not sure if it's related to our Gnome Wise or not, but...
Might
could
be.
Could be.
Could be, yeah.
They left Atari to form what company?
Activision.
That is correct.
Thank you.
So, one and a quarter
point. I was so fast!
Yeah, he gave you a quarter point speed.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, okay. In what month in 1985 did the Nintendo Entertainment System release in the United or in North America?
What month?
Yeah, what month of 1985?
I thought you said what year in 1985 for a second.
Yeah, we got to get back to 1985 anyway, right?
I don't know why I feel so strongly about this, but I want to say it was a summer release, so I'm going to say July.
It is actually October.
Oh.
And it actually released in South Korea in the same month.
Okay. Dang it.
Yeah. And you have Korean brothers.
I do have Korean brothers. Thank you for bringing that up. They're not here. Oh, I have a Korean brother.
Well, that's right.
And then three Korean sisters.
Three sisters, yeah.
I'm the white one. All right. Actually, I used to tell people that I was the adopted one instead because there were more of them. There were more of them than me, so it was always a good family joke.
All right. What game was originally bundled with the Sega Genesis when it came out?
Altered Beast.
You are correct.
Thank you.
And then it got replaced with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog 1, yeah, later.
You are now.
I remember being disappointed that I got the Altered Beast one because that's not a very good video game.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I have some nostalgia for it.
A couple Altered Beast fans in the crowd, apparently.
Rise from your grave. That's true.
All right.
Classic does not.
Kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog, now that I think about it.
And at E3 1995, what two companies were really at war with each other?
1995?
1995
E3. That would have been Sega and Nintendo.
Sega is correct, but the other answer is actually Sony.
Oh.
This is the press conference where
the guy
just
said... Oh, would have
been
the PS1? Yeah, I lost that one.
Did the $299 and just dropped the mic pretty much.
Although, yeah. Nintendo...
They also apparently deflated... Sony apparently also deflated like their Sonic the Hedgehog mascot and left it in a pool or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's like... There's a bunch of other stuff where I think... I forgot what it said, but they had a Sega Saturn sign and like Sony or somebody like mixed the letters up to say something else.
Yeah.
Jerk move.
That's amazing. Yeah. Everyone out of the pool.
That was
There's
before
a Sonic
internet
in
trolls. That, you had to troll in real life back then.
All right. And number three, the spider gun was originally supposed to be included in GoldenEye 007, and it was actually printed in the manual that that gun was in the game.
Yeah.
But they replaced it at the last minute. Do you know what gun was replaced?
I would... I'll say the golden gun.
That is incorrect. It is called the Klob.
Oh.
And it was... They named it after Ken Lobb, who helped worked for Nintendo. I think now he works for Microsoft.
Okay. Because he's part of the Rare team, right?
I think so, yeah.
No bonus points for that.
Bonus point, quarter point for the Rare part.
Thanks, man.
There's also a quarter point loss in begging penalty, right?
Oh, yeah. No? He wrote the book, so.
Yep.
So these we're back Tom's to rules.
Your score, so. All right. And what game at E3 in 2002 was used to demonstrate Xbox Live?
Oh, 2002.
Yeah.
That would have been Halo 2.
That's also incorrect. It is actually Unreal Championship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like the flagship launch.
Yeah, it was like third-person Unreal.
Yeah,
it was really weird.
Halo 2 was still 2 years away, and Halo 1 was already out.
All right. That's an easy one to get wrong.
All right, and final question. The Xbox 360 launched with two versions. There was a premium version and a basic, I think they called it the arcade version.
Mm-hmm.
And these ones, the more expensive ones, had hard drives. What was the size of the original Xbox hard drive?
Original drive was 20 gigabytes.
That is correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
How ridiculous is that now, though? I mean, it seems like a weird thing to think is already ridiculous.
One game.
World of Warcraft is 38 gigabytes, already too big for a hard drive. It's crazy.
All right, so our totals are in. I actually restored your...
Oh, that was eight. Okay.
I actually restored your point, so... coming in with 4.75 is Scott Johnson. And also with 4.75 is Tom Merritt.
What? Whoa, we tied it up.
Well played.
Yes, well played, sir. Well played.
Good game.
I feel pretty good about it's the first time we've done that.
Yeah. So now this means you're going to have to get into a steel cage and just wrestle or something.
That's fine
like
with
that.
Me. I know how much you like the wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, please a hand for Ice Worm.
A well-wielded gavel, sir.
Yeah, good job. Always willing to help. One of the great members of this community. All right, we don't have a ton of time. How much time do we actually have? I wanted to get some audience participation here, if we can. We literally have a minute. But I'll bet we could go 5 minutes long. It's no big deal, right? So let's get a couple of questions. If you have a question for us, first hand that went up was this one. Come on up to this mic over here that Ice Worm is on, and we'll get your question. Anything at all, whatever you got.
Yeah, I'm Dale Horvath. once we get the cure to the virus and all that, and civilization...
I have some bad news for you, Dale.
I'm sure you'll be fine, Dale. Just
okay.
Yeah, I feel that in my guts.
Okay. You know what? Read the comic. You're there longer. It's fine.
Yeah, all right. You're a comic.
All kidding aside, though, just a little forecast for you guys.
Oh, good.
Oh, good, yeah. We want
that used to be a show.
Yeah, it's a segment now.
Yeah, so you were talking about virtual reality, and that reminded me of augmented reality, which reminded me that on DTNS yesterday you were talking about Google Glass maybe coming back for industrial uses. And I'm predicting that in about 10 years, the whole brouhaha about people walking around with Google Glass and people being afraid for their privacy and all that, it's all going to be, it's going to be more like a Facebook kind of thing where you can curate what kind of information people that look at you can see, and then you can give them more and more. Hmm. And everybody will be finally wearing the specs, S-P-E-X, that I've been reading about in science fiction since the 70s. And I really need that for things like this. So when somebody comes up and says, "Hey, Gary, how you doing?" I don't have to say, "Hey, dude, how you doing?" Let's see, your names are Fred and George, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. That's yeah. right.
So good job.
Good to see you, Mike.
So that's that's.
So you think that's going to happen? How soon? What's your timeline?
I'm thinking about 10 years.
Now, do you think actual physical external things or implants? Because that's all.
No, they're going to be built into your glasses. And okay. As a matter of fact, your glasses will just change your prescription.
What if you don't have glasses?
Yeah, then contacts.
Well, then you'll have sunglasses that just automatically go clear.
Well, I'm going to have a manservant, so I don't know what you guys are going to be doing.
I don't know. Eventually, it might be an implant.
That's an interesting prediction. How many here would embrace this future of having augmented sort of? Okay, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I really think. I mean, this is obviously kind of a heavy on that end of it group that would be interested in that. But like Veronica's always said, give me the implant now. I'm ready.
Right.
I'm still a little tiny bit on the fence on that. I one of the things, as excited as I am about VR, this has something to do with this. I'm also just a little bit concerned about never wanting to come out of it. And I know that seems like a dystopian idea or one that science fiction would have some fun with, but if we're really that good at it and we really make experiences that compelling, there's some concern that we're going to sit around in that thing a lot. And real life and real people and relationships and, beating hearts is important. So I'm hoping that we as a society don't necessarily go completely down that road. So I'm still kind of like this on that prediction, but yeah, it's true. They say it about everything. And in some cases, some do, right? So we know there'll be some. The question is, will irrational fears about the entire population falling to its whim, it's probably not gonna happen that way. And probably not even gonna happen anyway, anyone knows. These things evolve so quickly. Who knew my kids would think YouTube is more important than a television? And they're not in front of it constantly all day. So, yeah, it's good thinking.
I got
one more
observation, and that's that you said little kids like the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people who were 27 when A New Hope came out didn't really mind them that much.
Didn't mind the new movies
at least,
as much?
I've got one data point on that. But yeah.
I was going to say, show your work.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks,
Come on up.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I've got a bit of a forecast follow-up. So I wrote in a couple years ago, back when forecast was a full show, and I...
Not a segment?
Okay. Not a segment. And I forecasted that in maybe a couple hundred years, once the technology that runs the internet now kind of fades into the background and nobody's thinking about how things work, we just accept that they work, that... we'll kind of progress to the point where we're able to do things without any visible technology, where we'll just kind of make things happen by will, and the internet kind of becomes the modern day version of the Force, right? Hmm. So I have a development on that I was thinking about when you guys asked for predictions, which is, so if you look at the way the internet is now, you've got kind of there's a subset of people who are very comfortable, ourselves included, on the internet, and we feel like we can get what we need out of it and we can make it do the things we want to do. And then there are other people who are more casual users, and they live with it and they use it, but they don't kind of live within the depth of it the way that maybe we do. So in that future world where where things happen kind of by our will, and it's just, some of us might have more say over what can happen than others, I see that certain maybe small set of people who really have good command of what the technology can do kind of looking like that future version of Jedi, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So just like in Star Wars, you've got this small group of people who are capable of making unbelievable things happen. And then you've got other people who know that this force kind of exists, or they at least have some idea that it exists, but they maybe can't take advantage of it.
That's deep, mm-hmm. man.
So, and then there's the people who make malware who are Sith. I like it. I know, it's good. I like this. Cool. You run with that.
Thanks, guys.
I think that's a really cool idea. The more I think about it, your analogy works even today. Like people who can shortcut key their way through 1,000 things and really own the internet, and then there are people who are mouse clicking very slowly and are afraid they've clicked something wrong and installed a ask.com toolbar by accident. And there really is that separation now, and it's interesting to think of what that separation will be as we get further and further into our future, where these services aren't so much branded or special, but just a big sort of part of our existence. That's awesome. Thank you for that.
Cool. Yeah,
good follow-up. I remember your original email. I couldn't remember what my topic was today, but I remembered that.
I vaguely remember making the joke, feel the bandwidth flowing through us. Yeah. With regards to like something.
Yeah. I recall that as well. We'll do one more question. Cool. Are you back there in line? Awesome. Come on up.
Yay. Come on up.
And then we'll get everybody on their way.
Hi. I'm Andrea. I want you to pick the timeline from forecast when this will happen.
Okay.
When will passwords die?
It's a good one. A lot of talk about this lately.
10 years.
10.
Maybe 5 to 10. I want to say next year, but it's not going to happen. The kinds of things that are so endemic. It's like saying, when will email die? We have text messaging, right? Except we like email. I mean, we don't love email, but email isn't bad for us. I think passwords, just the way people manage passwords already is so backwards, considering what we have. I know a lot of big companies are hammering away on two-factor authentication and things that can replace passwords securely. It's going to be more than 5 years. That's my guess.
I think
it'll probably be 5 to 10 years too, but I think it will end up being something that seems a little sci-fi right now. And we're already all using phones with some kind of, a lot of us anyway, security thumb scanners of some sort. That technology will continue to improve. We might get to a point where our DNA is immediately recognizable by devices and by consoles or whatever to get into a door. I think that it'll end up being something like that, because the only really truly unique thing that we each have is things like DNA, fingerprints, things that you can't easily reproduce. And there's always going to be an attempt to hack those things. You could, but they've got different fingerprints and their DNA differs slightly, I think, right? Isn't there some marker? Well, those two chuckleheads, they're up to no good anyway, so I don't trust them. But I just hope it's super space age, scan my retina kind of stuff.
Yeah, the problem is you can't change your retina.
Yeah, so if somebody figures out a way to hack your retina.
It's only one factor, so you're going to need something else with it, that's all.
All right, moles on my butt. I got a real unique one.
You can't change them, I guess, you're right.
Burn them off or keep them. Thank you, that was awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you very much, everyone, with your questions.
You guys are great. Thank you so much.
Are these
all for me?
We're going to throw out some shirts as soon as we're done here. So stay sat and we'll huck them and it'll be great. This will be a picture of Tom throwing things with a beard, unlike the other day.
Gosh, that was Iron Man 2, wasn't it, when
yeah,
I was throwing
it those? It was. The 2010, yeah. Still had that sweet beard, or sweet skin you had where your beard is now.
Sweet skin.
Sweet. Skin.
Somebody clip that out for the soundboard. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ice warm. Anyway, I just want to, and I really mean this when I say this, Current Geek is a special piece of the podcasting pie for us, and I'm just grateful to be working with a guy like Tom. He brings so much intelligence, so much thought, so much experience, and in some ways, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but eccentricity. He looks at things from a perspective that I don't sometimes. And I really value that. And I'm glad that the show is something people enjoy. And just thanks for supporting it and being here today live with us and hanging out with us. Anything else you want to...
100% agree. And I think that eccentricity goes both ways in a good way, right? Yeah, we overlap. And you constantly bring up questions that are worth thinking about and keep me on my toes, and I appreciate that too.
Well, I'm happy to be that guy and happy to be being those guys for you guys, and here's to many more episodes of Current Geek. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.